The Kingdom Radio. www.thekingdomradio.com. Your host, Apostle Jason Leppard. Welcome to the Prophets. Do you want to know what's coming next? Find out what God is doing. We will be hearing what God is saying in this season. Now, your host, Apostle Jason Leppard. Thank you guys for tuning in today. This is Jason. Thank you guys so much. Let's just begin to invite God in here today, guys. Let's invite him in. Father, it's a privilege to come to you today, God. It is a privilege to be here on the Kingdom Radio, on the Kingdom Podcast. Lord, it is a privilege, Lord, that you send your word out. You said that you send your word out and it will not return back void. God, I pray, God, that you be with us today. God, I pray, God, that you use us. God, Lord, teach us today. Great Holy Spirit, come in and teach us what we need to learn. And Father, we'll be careful to give you the honor and the praise and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for tuning in. Listen, we're going to be on the series. I know we've done the seven spirits of God. We're not finished there. But the Holy Spirit has us on the matters of the heart. And I'm going to talk about the matters of the heart. I'm going to be on a series in the next few weeks. We're going to be talking about the matters of the heart. I want to start right quick to define what heart means. According to the Bible, the heart means a center, not only a spiritual activity, but all the operations of human life. Heart and soul are offered use as an integrity, unchangeable. In Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 26 and 16 says, Deuteronomy 6, 5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and all thy soul and with all thy might." Now, that might, we understand that in Ephesians 6, it tells us, it's not by might nor by power, it's by my spirit. See, the might belongs to God, folks. We can't attain might because God has that in his hands, because in Ephesians 6, it says, "Be ye strong in the Lord in the power of his might." So your might compared to his might cannot match up to battles that we face. So you have to draw from his might. Okay, that word might. Now let's get into this. In Deuteronomy 6, 5 says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and might, with all thy soul and with all thy might." The reason why he put might first, because we have a tendency to put our heart, we have control of our heart. God don't. In that scripture, it says, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, and soul." It's a love walk, guys. It's a love walk. In Matthew 22, verse 37 says, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and mind and with all thy," Jesus said, watch this, guys. In Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind." Now in Deuteronomy, he said, "with thy might." But see, you got to understand, your mind is powerful. But it starts from a heart issue. Here's where we're going. Okay, let's go to Mark 12:30. Let's go to Mark 12:30. It says, it reads, "And thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment." But this is not a general, this is not general in case. The heart is the home. The heart is home of personal, your personal life. Hence, a man is designed according to his heart. Wise, watch this, guys. In 1 Kings, now I'm reading some of this to you guys. We're going to diagnose it here in a bit. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Behold, I've done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee the wise and understanding heart, so that there are none of like these before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." Now I'm gonna quote this again, guys. In 1 Kings chapter 3:12 says, "Behold, I have done according to the words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart." Now let's go on to this. Now I'm reading a lot of this. We're gonna diagnose the matters of the heart. Okay, the matters of the heart, and that's what God has really got me on here lately, is the matters of the heart. And Psalms 24:4 says, "He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted his soul up to vanity, nor swore deceitfully." And Matthew 5:8, and I'm reading some of these off, "Blessed are the pure in heart, well, they shall see God. Upright in righteousness," Genesis 20:25, "said unto him, she is my sister, and she herself said, he is my brother, in the integrity of my heart, and there shall my hands have done this." And that's where Abraham lied and said that was his sister and all this stuff, and it really wasn't, it was his wife. He had an integrity check because he was put in an integrity check. All right, let's go to 6. "And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I have known, didst thou integrity of thy heart, for I know withhow thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I not to touch her." See, otherwise, Abraham lied about his wife and said it was his sister because he was in danger. But God gave the man a dream. Look, you don't let his wife go, I'm going to kill you. But why did God take up for Abraham when he was in the wrong? Abraham started all this. He lied about his wife. Why would God take up for a liar? Because God made a covenant with Abraham. Listen to this. God made a covenant with Abraham, and God can't lie. Man lie, God can't. That's why God said, "Let every man be a liar, and God be the truth." Let every man lie, be a liar, but God's the truth. God can't lie. We lie, but God can't. But why did God take up for Abraham? Because he made a covenant with Abraham, and God can't make a word with somebody and turn back on his word. And you got to get this. He cannot turn back on his word, because when God makes a word, he can't break it. And he done made a covenant with Abraham before he got to the place where his wife was in Genesis chapter 20 and 5 and 6. The integrity of Abraham failed, but the integrity of God can't. See, that, my friend, this is what you don't understand. God has made a covenant with you. You got to understand something. When God makes a covenant with you, God can't break his covenant. You can break your side, but he will never. And that's why the word said he'll never leave you, forsake you. You might leave him, but he will never leave you, because God cannot break his words. He's a man of his word. He said, "Let every man be a liar and God be the truth." Now watch this. In Psalms 11:2, "For lo, the wicked is bent their bow. They make ready for their arrow upon the string, that they may be privileged to shoot an upright at the upright in heart." I'm going to read this one more time. Psalms 11:2. For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may be privileged to shoot the upright in heart. Otherwise, he's saying that wicked people don't like people that has a great heart. Now, how do you consider somebody that has a great heart? They like what God likes. Come on. We just read it while ago, guys, in Deuteronomy 6. It says, love the Lord thy God. See, you can't love people if you don't learn how to love God. You can't love people if you don't have a relationship with God. If you don't know God and who he is and have that relationship, then it's hard to love people. Love God, then love people. And not love people, then love God. No, you love God first. How do you love God? How do you show God love? Well, number one, you should start tithing. You should start giving. You should start showing him love by your actions, not your mouth. That's the matters of the heart, guys. Y'all speak a lot of stuff, but you don't do nothing. You talk a lot of talk, but you don't walk a lot of walk. You hear what I'm saying? You don't talk a lot of talk. I'm using my talent for God today, right now. I'm showing him I love him by my talents. Now, with your money, how many people show him that you love him? Not very many. They say one thing, do another. Come on. They serve them with their mouth, but I love God. You don't love God, because if your actions don't show it, then your mouths surely don't spread it. And that's why Jesus said, they serve me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. When your heart's in something, that means you're doing something, action. You're not saying a thing, you're doing a thing. Come on. The matters of the heart. This is good, guys. This is going to get deep. It's going to get deep. A lot of people say they're your friends, but when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, or being tested under trials, or being tested in a trial, or something happens, or maybe you don't show up for them when they want you to show up, or maybe when they come to you and do things for you, but you, the minute you don't do nothing for them, they're out the door. The matters of the heart. We're going to get deep with this. You should be here. Glory to God. Anyways, let's go on, guys. Let's go on. Let's see what the Holy Spirit has for us. So in Psalm 78, verse 72 said, so fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guarded them by the scornfulness of his hand. So God looks at our integrity. I said, God looks at our integrity. He looks at our integrity. Let's look at this, some key verses. And Psalms 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Listen, if your heart's not clean, then your spirit's not clean. There we go. David said, create in me a clean heart. Create means to make something form, to make something that wasn't there but now is. See, people can have change of heart. Do you know that? They can love you one minute, they can hate you the next. Come on. The matters of the heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I'm going to read that one more time. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of these are the issues of life. Do you understand that your heart determines your destiny? Do you understand that where your heart is, your treasury is? That's what Jesus said. Where your heart is where your treasury is. Listen, some of you guys' heart are on this worldly things. That's all you study. That's all you study. And God says, listen, I want you to come out from this and come to me and create in me a clean heart, God, and wash me from all this worldly stuff, trying to get famous, or trying to run after money, or trying to run after this. Listen, you need to run after God. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Otherwise, watch what goes in your heart, guys. The matters of the heart. Come on. Jeremiah 17:9-10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search hearts. I try the reins. Now listen to me. How can you know a person's heart? Right, what he said right there. How can you know a person's heart when you don't know it? Listen, you know how I determine people's heart? I test them. I test them. How did Jesus determine, watch this, how did Jesus determine Judas's heart? He put the money in his hand. He put the money in his hand. How do you know when somebody's got a good heart and an unclean heart? How do you know? You don't, because it's tested. You know, I used to tell the sister Cummins, I used to tell her, I said, listen, when you find me giving you a lot of money, you're being under a test. Why? Because Jesus gave the money bag to Judas to test him to see what would happen. Now watch this. Desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. He didn't say sayings, he said doings. A lot of people say, well, I love the Lord. I love him with all my heart. Well, you know what? I don't want to hear it. I want to see it. I want to see your love for God. I don't want to hear your love for God. I want to see it. I never determine fruit by what I see in fruit. I never determine fruit by what I hear in fruit, because fruit don't talk. See, Jesus said, you'll know them by the fruits they bear. But if they bear no fruits, let me tell you something. Fruit, I never been in a fruit barn, and I never been in a fruit barn, and I never heard an orange talk to me. Never. I always saw orange grow. And that's why we got it. That's why Jesus said, you'll know them by the fruit they bear. And the fruit, a bad tree can't bear good fruit. It just can't. It's impossible. And how we determine fruit, we got to watch people. Just like my sister always says, we got to be a watchman on the wall. We got to watch their actions. Jesus said, they serve me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Guys, if people don't do for God and you don't see it in their doing, then obviously their love for God has grown cold. I'm serious. I sit and watch people all the time. You know why people don't pay their tithes? You know why people don't give offerings? It's because their heart with God has grown cold. It has. It's a heart issue. It's a love for God. See, when you start getting close to God, Sister Christy, you don't have a problem with these things. You don't. I mean, it's like a privilege to say, God, I'll give you my 10%. You know what, God? I'll give you more than that, because I cannot give you. You gave me life. You gave me your only begotten son. I mean, there's nothing that I can repay him with. I can give him everything in my house that still won't add up to what he's done for me. I mean, I look at it that way. I mean, God asked for 10%. That's not much. I mean, that's just a little knock in the bucket. And we don't understand, and this is where we're at in Jeremiah 17:9-10, said the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, and who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. God is trying you all the time just to see where your heart is. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. See, you got to watch people's doings. You can't watch what they say. Oh, I love you, Sister Christy. You my best friend. Well, let's see if I'm your best friend. Let's just see if I'm your best friend. Let's see if me and you go through a trial together, where you going to go? You going to go out the back door? It happens every time. Let's see if my ministry falls, that you'll still be my friend, or you're with my ministry, or you're with me. See what I'm saying? It's the matters of the heart, sister. The matters of the heart. And the funny thing is, I always test people with money. Why do I do that? Jesus done the same thing with Judas. Well, let's see. He's going to betray me. I might as well give him the money bag and let him do it. I'm going to tell you something, sister. I've been in ministry long enough to know one thing about it. If they chasing that money and not chasing you, you throw the bag of money at them, the bag of money's going to get them before you do. And that's just where their heart is. Jesus said these words, where a man's treasure is, his heart is also. What does that mean? That means the very thing he's saying, guys. If his heart is set on something, that's where his heart is. See, God is looking for a friend. He's not looking for somebody that wants benefits. So what I'm saying here is, my God, this is good. He don't want somebody just because, well, they going to get in good with me because they want the blessings. See, God's watching us, and he's testing our hearts just to see where our hearts lie. But if we get a heart like King Solomon, this is what King Solomon really asked God. People say, well, he asked for discernment between good and evil. But you got to understand, there's only one person that knows between good and evil. That's God. He was asking God, I want you. And that's the main thing that I'm trying to put in this Matters of the Heart series. God wants you to want him instead of the blessings. Well, how do you know that I don't want that, Jason? It shows. Let him put you through a Job test. Let him put you on the backside of a desert and you still give. Come on, my God, this is getting good. What about the time when you ain't got no groceries in your house and you said, Lord, your 10% is right here today. I don't care if I got a lick of groceries in here. I'm going to love you anyways, God, because I'm going to show you, God, that I'm not for you for what you give to me, that I love you with all my heart. There ain't nothing in this world that can take me from the love of God. My God, I feel the anointing. Listen, I'm telling you guys something today. God is testing you and trying you just to see where your heart is. There's been times, baby, I put my 10% on the table. I said, God, ain't got no food in there, but you're going to get your stuff. Because God, I'm not for you for your blessings. I want you, Lord, you. I've been tested. You darn Skippy, I've been tested. There's been times I didn't have groceries, Sister Christy, in the grocery bin. And you know what Jason did? I said, you know what? I made $300. You see, $30. My wife would kick me in the stomach. And she said, why are you giving tithes to that church? I said, let me tell you something, woman. It ain't just tithes to that church. Them tithes belong to my Lord that I love. Do you hear me? Let me tell you something. There's a test, and people fail the test every day because they put money before God. See, only the reason God requires the tithing because he don't want that money to come between you and him. And that's the only way he could test you, for you to show him, look, Daddy, this money ain't nothing to me. This money don't have nothing to me. But you'll be surprised, Sister Christy, there's millions of people out there that just can't do it. They can't do it because their heart is not in the right place. And that's when I was riding down the road Saturday, God began to deal with me the matters of the heart. He said, Jason, I want you to start talking on a series, the matters of the heart, because I'm in a heart-changing position. I'm fixing to change people's hearts. I said, glory to God. It says in Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10, the heart is deceitful above all things. It's deceitful. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord searches the hearts and tries the reins. Even gives every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doings. That's good. That is good stuff. Listen what Ezekiel says. These are some key verses, guys, that I pulled up here. In Ezekiel 11:19, it says, I will give them one heart. I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take a stony heart out of a flesh heart, a stony heart out of a flesh heart. Now watch this. It's getting good. And I will give them a heart of flesh. Now watch this. I'm going to read this real slow because a lot of times we read scriptures too fast and we don't get the meanings and the understanding of what he's saying. In Ezekiel 11:19 said, I will give them one heart and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take a stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. What is he saying there? Sister Christy, if you would, sister, if you can, would you elaborate on that? I just feel like you can give the people an understanding what Ezekiel is telling us there.
Brother, could you read it one more time, please?
And he says, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take a stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh.
That's good. I know sometimes when we are in the world that our hearts become hardened due to sin mm-hmm. that we partake in. And when we become new creatures in Christ, he removes the old heart and gives us a new heart for him. But also, he gives us a heart after people, a new heart, a new way to love people as well. So he removes the cold heart and puts in his heart, the heart that beats for the people in love. Is what I feel that is coming from, or that's what he did for me, is that he took the hardness, he took my hard heart, and he gave me his heart, that I can love people the way they need to be loved, and that I can worship him the way that I need to worship, and the way that I need to love, Father.
Yes, that's true. That's good. That's good. And let's go a little bit deeper here in Ezekiel 36:25-27. This is so good. This stuff is really just changing me. And he says right here in Ezekiel 36:25-27, he says, then I sprinkled clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all the filthiness and from all the idols will I cleanse you. And 26 says, a new heart I will also give to you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. Guys, I'm going to tell y'all something. It is so simple to follow God. The only thing he wants us to do is to get rid of our old nature. That's it. That's all you got to do. If you get rid of the old nature, he'll put the new nature in you, because Jesus made another statement. You cannot pour new wine in an old vac skin. So God said, look, get rid of the old, and I'll put the new in. Ain't that good? All he's wanting you to do is yield to him and say, Lord, my heart is empty. It's oppressed. God, I can't do it without you. And when you do that, God said, all them old things I push aside, and I'm going to put new stuff inside of you. That's what happened to me years ago, sister. I remember it. I would sit at church and just cry and thank God. And I felt love that no man on this world could ever give me. That's how much love I felt. I mean, I would just sit down the road, Sister Christy, and I'd go crying just out of the blue. Don't know why I was crying. Because I felt so much God's love He poured inside of me that day I got saved, and I felt his spirit. And people would look at me. I would just be sitting preaching at people and crying. They'd say, "Why are you crying?" I said, "I don't know. He just pouring so much love on me." I could feel the love of God just poured and shed right in my heart, and I couldn't stop. And my brother tells me, he said, "Jason, there's a wonder why you ain't backed up on God in all these years. Why ain't you walked away from God? All of us has walked away from God except you." I said, "Well, it's like this. When somebody pours something in your heart that's never been there, you never forget it. See, even when you're tested and even when you're in a trial, Sister Christy, you never forget what God poured in you. I can't forget it. I can't run from it. I can't. I've tried to run from it.
You can't.
Otherwise, he said, taste the Lord and see that he is good. See, I done tasted him. And you know what? I can't run from it, because even though the devil gets me out there in the desert and says, look, why don't you just give up on your God? You done tried this thing for 28 years now. You done tried this thing so long. It ain't working. You ain't going nowhere. But you know what? It ain't about the ministry no more, sister. It's not about where my ministry goes. It's about how close I can get to him now. See, my heart has changed. It used to be on ministry, but now it's on relationship. My God. It's not on how big my ministry can get or how many people I can touch. I used to have that mentality, but now I got the mentality, God, I just want to know you. I could care less if I touch two people. If I touch one, I'm still doing the good job, Lord, but now it's come to a heart change.
That's exactly right.
And see, a lot of people, they don't realize, but God tests his ministries too, sister. I mean, he does a heart change. I remember one time I was down in Tinga, Georgia. I got invited to preach a revival down there for a whole week. Back in my younger Christian days, I was kind of young in the Lord, and I just wanted to get out there. You know, I wanted to go preach. It was all about ministry to me, all about them open doors and all about... And I went down there to Tinga, Georgia, and my family showed up, and I said, well, Lord, I'm not driving 2 hours down here just to preach to my family. I could do that in Chattanooga. Well, the next night, I didn't even go. I thought, Lord, I'm not going to waste my gas just go down there and preach to my family. I can preach to my family up here. But she called me up. She said, Jason, we was wondering where you was at tonight. We put your name out, Reverend Jason Leppard. Back then, I was a reverend, but... We put your name up on the board outside, and we had 300 something cars show up there. So there, we counted 320 something people in this building tonight. And I'm sorry, but we can't invite you no more, because if you're not going to come, we can't invite you no more. But God taught me a lesson there. He said, son, how many times am I going to tell you it's not about number? See, I don't want you like these other ministers that won't even go to churches because they don't have a mega church. It's true. I know. I've even tested them myself. I know some ministers, not saying any names, not talking about no ministries. But I'm telling you, there is ministries out there will not come to a church unless they got at least 300 to 400 something people in their congregations. I know. I've even tried to call these people to invite them to churches, and they won't come. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus left the 99 and went after the one. And that's what God taught me a lesson. It was a heart change. See, it was the way I was looking at things. That's why God changes our heart. We look at things one way, and God said, no, I want you to look at it my way. This is the way I look at things, Jason. You want your heart changed, start looking at things the way God looks at it. And God looks at it like this, Christy. If we touch one person on here, on this broadcast, it's worth it all. One person. One
Amen.
Person.
Amen.
See, it's not about groups, and that's another thing, a minister I was connected to here recently. He was always worried about the number, number, number. I said, son, it's not about the number. It's about the integrity of what you're doing it for. See, you can be doing a good thing, but not doing it the right way, the way God wants it. See, God wants you to have a heart like Jesus did. Jesus would be talking to the crowds over here, sister. I mean, multitudes of people would be. And he'll leave that whole crowd and run after that one and say, I'm going to your house, that kid. See, he wasn't worried about number. Jesus was never worried about number. Never was. It didn't bother him. But I know many, many ministers, and I'm one of them. I had a church in Bremen, Georgia, As One Ministries. Together we stand, apart we fall. That's what killed my church, sister, is I was worried about number. I had 80-something people in the first week of that church. The first 3 months, went all the way up to 200-something people in that little building. But when it started falling, guess what happened, Sister Christy? I was looking at number. I was. I got discouraged. And guess what happened? I quit. All because I stayed focused on things that God didn't stay focused on. Jason did, but God didn't. God's teaching me a foundation here to quit worrying about, because Satan gets you, pastors. And I'm talking to you pastors out there, and I'm talking to you teachers, whoever downloads this podcast or whoever listens to this on the radio, if you're listening, I'm talking to you. Because Satan will, that's one key that Satan will come to you as, oh, look at you, your ministry ain't doing nothing. Why do you even get up and preach? I get up and preach because I love him and because he's told me to do this. It's not I want to. Well, I want to now, but it's something that he's required me to do. I have anointed you to preach the good news, to set the captives free. Whether it goes anywhere or whether it goes nowhere, sister, that's not my point. My point is God told me to do it. It's not the point that if it goes anywhere or if it reaches a bunch of people or not. That's not my point. I have to tell Satan, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you one more time, big boy. It's not about the number. It's about the obedience. See, that's why we quit things, that's sister, right. Because we don't see the number, but we don't realize Satan is sitting right there saying, look, you ain't touching nobody. Look what you ain't doing nothing for God. I don't have to touch numerous of people. I have to touch one, because if I do one, it's worth a million to God. One soul. And that's what kept Billy Graham. You know, I did a study up on Billy Graham. You know, when he first started, sister, he didn't have the multitudes. No, sir. He started with one person. You know, he used to go out when he was in college, Bible college, and telling people that God has really called him to preach. He would go out, and his first sermon was on his sidewalk when in his college dorm, on his sidewalk out there preaching to one person. You know that? I didn't know that. But he was so on fire and willing to do God's will, he didn't care about the number either. But gradually over time, look where God put him. He put him over multitudes. I mean, that guy touched more people than any minister ever faced this world. He touched a lot of people for God. But see, he wasn't worried about numbers, Sister Christy. He wasn't. If that man could sit outside and minister to one person in a college dorm, who are we? I mean, we get discouraged because we don't have two people here. We get discouraged because we don't have one person. But, sister, I've been tested in that area, and it used to bother me so much. But now it don't bother me no. You know why? Because now I have a change of heart, and I know what I'm doing it for. God's told me to do it, so here I am. But it's feeding me anyways. You know what I'm saying? But that's still not the matter. The matter is our heart, the matters of the heart. Where is our heart? Is it where God's heart is? Because, see, we was talking about, me and Sister Christy was talking about yesterday about, you know, we want blessings from God. Whoa, we want this from God, or we want that from God, or we want this from God. But, you know, we don't ask God what he wants from us. God, what do you want from us? See, that's just like my children. Every time they call me on the phone, they say, Daddy, we need you to do this. We need you and Mama to do this. We need all the time. We, I. I'm thinking, you know, when are you going to start doing something for me? And then I will start doing something for you. I know that seems selfish as a parent, but you got to understand something. When they were kids, guess what we did? We put I out of the way just to get your diaper changed, just to get food on your back all those years. And you ain't going to come to me and say, you know what, Daddy, what can I do for you today? It's all about them. And see, that's what God is trying to tell us. Listen, quit seeking my blessings. Quit seeking my cars and houses. These things will come to you when you seek first the kingdom. See, we do it opposite, Sister Christy. We want the house, the car, the boat, the pool. We want all this stuff. And God said, quit wanting that stuff and keep chasing me. Because when you see, if my kids would apply this right here, if they would come up my door and say, Daddy, I just want to come by and see you. I love you so much. And just hug me. Sister, I'm going to tell you something. I hope my kids don't hear this because I'm finna get tested. But listen, if they would do that to me and come up to me just to see me, just, Daddy, I just thought I'd call you today and tell you I love you. If they would do them things, do you know I would give everything out of my pocket to my children? I would. I would. I would probably get along just to bless them. But see, they don't. All they want is what I got. They don't want me. See, God feels the same way. God said, listen, I own it all. I own it all today. You understand, you know Walmart? I own Walmart too. The guy that created Walmart, I gave him the idea. Come on. You think that guy's smart enough to find all that out? No, sir. Amazon? I own Amazon. Come on. Bill Gates? He didn't think of Microsoft. I gave him the ability to think of Microsoft. Big Tech, I gave them the ability to think of Google search. The guy had a dream one night, woke up and said, hey, I'm going to make a Google search. Now he's a multi-billionaire. Who do you think gave them ideas? It didn't come from them, Sister Christy. God gives us power to get wealth. That power is the understanding of something you didn't know about. And I'm going to tell you another thing. It ain't just knowledge that God gives you, fellas. It's knowledge and time. What am I meaning by that? Look at the guy that created Microsoft. No, we're going to go with Google. The guy that created Google search. He had a dream, but it was in that time, Sister Christy. Timing is the essence with God. Listen, you can have a great idea, but be out of the wrong timing. Really?
That's the truth.
Really, I'm thinking about it. Think about this. Amazon, the guy dreamed of Amazon too, woke up next morning and said, man, I'm gonna start selling my stuff out of my garage online. But sister, it was God's timing. Because now you try to do that, guess what? You're not going to be big as Amazon. It's all in God's timing. When God releases these things, it's all in his timing. So when he's about to give you something, you better jump on it. Quit wasting time. Because when God pours you out a blessing, it's time for it. And see, Amazon.com, I forgot when he come out, but I think it was in the, maybe the year 2000, I believe. But anyways, in that time frame that he come out with Amazon.com, it was the time frame that Amazon or something like that should come forward. See, it's all in God's timing because now you try to create a store online, you got too much competition. See, you're out of God's timing. The guy that invented the duck whistle, who's that fellow? Duck Dynasty created a duck whistle, but it was God's timing. See, it's all in his timing. Perfect timing. See, you can have great ideas, but be out of the wrong timing set. That's what I'm saying. So, that's a whole nother ball game.
So you can jump ahead of the timing, and you can mess the whole thing up. Now, the Lord uses the desires that we have in our hearts. That's why we have those desires, is because those are the things that he placed within us. He already knows what we're desiring. But the thing of it is when we desire him more, we don't have to worry about those desires because they're already going to come into effect anyway. They will come into manifestation if we seek and follow him first. But he's going to see where our heart is. He's going to see where our heart lies first. If we're going to jump ahead of him and go and do what we want to do before his timing, then of course it's going to mess. But as long as we seek him first and desire him above all things, these other things, we don't even have to worry about it. Because those are things he already wants to give us, but it's a perfect timing. Because if he gives it to us too soon, we can mess it up. That's why his timing is always perfect. But above all, we need to desire him above all things in his kingdom. Be kingdom-minded, and then everything else is going to fall into place. But he is going to search your heart. Where is your heart? Why? Is it going to align those desires and those earthly, worldly things, or does your desire lie in him? That's where he's checking the heart. He'll test you. He'll give you a little something to see where you're going to go with it, to see if he can trust you. Because if he can't trust you with the small things, then of course he can't trust you with the big things. He's testing your heart. The heart plays a big part in this whole role, because he knows your heart better than you know your own heart. So you have to seek and desire him first. And that's all we need to be concerned about, is desiring the kingdom first, desiring and making him first in all things. And then everything else is going to come in just when it needs to, right on time to fulfill his will. Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes. That's good, Sia. And you know, and I like to say this too. Jesus tested people's heart all the time. He did. When he was on this earth, he always tested people's heart. And the thing was with him was the Pharisees. Sister, Pharisees knew the whole law. They knew the religious matters. They knew the Sabbath. They knew all the rules that Moses laid down. They were good people. They didn't commit adultery. But Jesus knew their heart. See, you can be doing a good thing, going to church, paying your tithes, but you can be doing it for all the wrong reasons. Is your heart clean or is it bad? It's bad. Why? Because God says you're only doing this because you want a good name. You're only going to church because you want people to thank you all holier now, and you got a good name, and you have an agenda behind you. Because, see, God knows our intentions of the heart. And Jesus always throw this at the Sadducees, always. Remember the man come up and said, Jesus, why do you heal on the Sabbath? He said, why do you care when I heal? The man's healed. He said, you guys worry about the outer appearance more than you do the inner. See what I'm saying? It's the way we look at things that God can change our heart. Just like me, I used to look at ministry with number. I used to think God ain't moving in my ministry because I don't have number. But you don't get it. God is moving in my ministry bigger without number. I mean, I feel more of his spirit without number. So you can't determine successful ministry just because I don't have crowds of people. And that's why people don't help me, Sister Christy, because they think, oh, Jason's in there doing this little radio thing. He think he's doing something big for Lord. You know, y'all don't understand. My ministry is a manger ministry. You got to understand something. How many people that was sitting out in a manger when Jesus was born? Not very many. And you know what? His ministry was most powerful in the universe. So see, you can't determine a ministry by the people that you carry and influence, because people do though, sister. That's the way they operate. Oh, Joel Osteen, you got to go see him. I'm not talking about Joel Osteen, guys. I'm not. Really, don't get me when I'm trying to get here. But Joel Osteen, you look at his ministry and think, man, Lord, his ministry is growing in the Lord. He must have the power of the Lord. Not necessarily. Because let me tell you something. When Jesus was born in a manger, he had three wise men there. That's not a big crowd, Christian. That's not a big crowd. See, when you have a ministry.
The wise men didn't come after he was even born to begin with. There probably wasn't anybody there who was even witness to the birth, except for, you know, just the people who were there at the manger, maybe the owner, and of course, Mary and Joseph, but you don't even really know who was there at the birth because the wise men didn't even show up until after he was birthed.
Right, right. And that's what we're getting to here. Because ministry, and I try to tell this fellow this numerous of times that I was connected in ministry, used to. He'd keep on saying, number, we ain't doing good. I said, brother, successful ministry is getting one person off to do God's will. Otherwise, God took 12 men and changed this whole world. If I can disciple you, Sister Christy, to do what God has called you to do, if I can push you to where God wants you to start plowing yourself, now I'm making progress. But sister, I've been in mega churches. Believe me, I was a choir director in a mega church. Actually, it had 490 people every Sunday. And they had me be a choir director. And do you know there's only five out of them, all those people, they had five on their board even doing anything for God. That's not success. There's no success in that. When Jesus took 12 men and he poured his everything that he had inside of him and said, look, I'm going to teach you how to do ministry. I'm going to teach you how to cast out devils. I'm going to teach you to walk on storms. I'm going to teach you to speak to a storm and it will obey you. I'm going to teach you these things and I want you to start doing them. Quit hearing me doing them. You start doing them. And see, that's what I'm doing to Sister Christy here. Because Sister Christy's going to go to the hospital in Dalton, Georgia and empty it out. Why? Because God is fixing to put something inside of her to tell devils, listen, cancer, you got to go. Listen, you disease, you got to go. But see, that's successful ministry. If I can get one person to start doing what I'm doing. And see, that's success. And Jesus, I'd rather follow his ministry than any ministry in this world. Because the motive that he laid us, the model that he laid us, Sister Christy, was the model of discipleship and quit worrying about, oh, I got all these numbers. I'm going to tell you something. I'm on TikTok, guys. Some of them people that get on TikTok, they just being nosy. They don't care about my message. They don't care about what I got to say. They just come in there being nosy. So see, some of them people just come in and they ain't got the right heart or the attitude anyway. So why do I want all these 20,000 people? That's a headache, sister. That's a headache. I just like the way my ministry is now. Me and Sister Christy get on here, we get fed from God and we disciple each other. And you know what? That's the way I like it. I don't like no ministry, 80-something people complaining. When I had my church down in Bremen, it was a headache. Most of those people that come in there, they didn't even want nothing to change from God. They just come because their grandma told them to come. Okay. And what's your grandma got have anything to do with you and the Lord? See, people's heart is not where it's supposed to be. They come to church for a good name. Remember, Jesus walks up to the fellow and he says, come follow me. Sell all you got and come follow me. Oh, but Lord, you don't understand. I've never committed adultery, though. I must be a good man. He said, you're not a good man. He said, you need to sell all that money you got and come follow me. See, they had the wrong heart. He always checked their heart, the wrong motives. I've had ministry friends come in my life, ministers. Come in my life, God told me to give them stuff. I said, Lord, why do I keep giving these ministers things? I said, I know their heart. They don't give a rip about my ministry. And they didn't, sister. They didn't give a rip about my ministry. They just come in my ministry because I got a lot of talent. I can build websites. I can do radio stations. I can do a lot of stuff for their ministry, not mine. And when they didn't get it, sister, guess what they did? Right out the door they went. Okay, bye. I thought you were my friend. No, he wasn't your friend. He was your friend because you knew all these things and it could benefit him. Come on. You got to watch people's hearts where it lies, Sister Christy. And that goes for you too, sister, because there are going to be some people that come in your ministry, sister. There are going to be some people that come in your ministry. They ain't for you, sister. They don't love you just because they love you. They love you because you got the anointing. Come on. And they're going to try to ride on it. And then they're going to try because they can't have that anointing because they can't pay the price. I know people like that too.
That's exactly right. Try to. You said it right. Right off your anointing.
Oh yeah.
Right off your anointing, because your anointing will. There's an overflow, and some people want to catch that overflow, and then they build off that instead of their own relationship with God. They don't want to get intimate with God themselves, so they pull off your anointing instead. So you do have to watch people like that because they will drain you.
Oh yeah. They will drain you. They will drain you. And that's, guys, this is the matters of the heart. You know, like I say, Saturday I was riding down the road and God spoke to me. He said, son, I want you to start teaching on the matters of the heart. He said, because people need to know why I don't bless certain people and why I do bless certain people. Sister Christy, your blessings from God determines where your heart is. It is. Because you got to understand something. The reason why he blessed King Solomon is because King Solomon's heart was this: Lord, I want you. I don't want the kingdom. I don't want that palace, Lord. Even though it'd be nice to have that palace, I would rather have you than that palace, because if I had that palace without you, it wouldn't be no good. See what I'm saying? And I asked God the other day, I was praying about my finances and stuff. What should I do, Lord? And, you know, what should I do? I had an iPad go out on me, and I really was praying. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do, because I used that for the video stuff. I said, I don't really know what to do with this. And I started praying and asking wisdom. See, if I didn't want God involved in my finances, I wouldn't ask him. And sometimes you do have to ask God when you don't know what you should do, because God knows my future, sister. He knows the next thing that's going to come up to me. He knows my health. He knows everything. And if I don't ask his advice and get his advice on it, because the Bible says acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. You know, when you feel confused about something, Lord, should I go to the hospital about this, or should I shouldn't? God, let me know. Let me know.
Exactly. You got to include him in all things. See, that's when your intimacy with him comes into play, is that you're seeking him and his advice and what he wants you to do, what his will is, not yours, but what his is. And see, that's showing that your heart lies within him and not within yourself, because you're reaching out, you're asking him for advice, you're asking him to guide you and to help you get through the situation. Your heart is lying in him and not in your own self.
That's right. And it's like that truck out there, sister. I'll be honest with you. I walked in there and saw that payment. I thought, whoa. and I said, the man said, you going to sign it? I said, give me a minute. And I sat in there thinking, I said, Lord, should I do this or should I didn't? Sister, when I said that, the peace of God that passes all understanding come all over my body. I felt such a peace about it out of nowhere. And I heard his voice say, I'll take care of it. Go ahead. But I felt the peace first. See, a lot of times when you pray over something, if you don't get that peace, then you better back up. you better back up, because if you don't feel the peace of God that passes all understanding, because a lot of things we don't understand. We don't understand how we're going to pay a $700-something payment. We don't understand how we're going to do that. Sister, I didn't understand when I got in this log cabin. I said, Lord, that's too much. I can't do it. He said, I didn't ask you to do it. I'm going to do it. Okay. Okay. But he gave me a peace about it. It was a confirmation, sister. Every time I get a peace from God, I do it. I just do it, sister, because to me, I don't understand how I'm going to do it, number one. Number two, I don't understand how it's going to happen. But I do understand this. Where God leads, he provides. I do understand that. And, sister, I have went off of that. God taught me that years ago. He said, son, pray about it. Find the peace about it. And when you find my peace, go with it. So, okay, because some of the stuff, Sister Christy, that God puts in your lap, you stretch in your faith and thinking, God, how in the world? How in the world am I going forward this house? You want me to live here with a $1,000 payment? God, come on now. I ain't got nothing like that in the bank. See, God will stretch your faith sometimes, and the only thing you can find to give you the okay is the peace of God. That's it. That has helped me for years. And I'll be honest with you, sister, when I moved in this house, it was $700 a month. I was scratching my head because I never paid that, Sister Christy. I never. Not for a house. I usually paid $550, something like that, never up to $700. I said, Lord, you're going to have to make a way. I said, because I don't understand how I'm going to do that. I had the same question. Been here for 4.5 years now. Never missed a lick. That's God. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? I never missed a lick. I've always had my rent on time, every time.
Yeah, but you also listened to the voice of God when he spoke to you and told you, right, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that he wanted you to have, but he's made the way because that's something that he wanted you to have. That was his gift to you. So if it's his will, it's his bill, he'll provide. He'll make the way.
That's right.
You don't have to worry within your own self because he knows where your heart lies and it lies within him. So therefore, he said, I'm going to take care of you. I've got this.
Yes.
So he's making the way because that is his gift to you because you are following him. You're putting your trust in him, not in yourself, not in your job, not in the money that you acquire. You put your trust in him. He said, I take care of my own. I take care of my own. That's a desire and a gift that he has for you. And so that's why you don't have to worry about those things because regardless, he says, it's my will, so it's my bill. I got you. I'm going to take care of you. You just keep following me and all this other stuff. You ain't got to worry about because I already told you and you trusted that. You trusted what Daddy said when he said, I got you. And that is where he was checking your heart. Will you trust me? Even though it looks big in your eyes, in your natural eyes, will you still trust me? Can you trust me like I trust you?
Yes, that's good, sister. That's good. It's true. I mean, in that piece I'm talking about, guys, you know, I remember one time I was at the Walmart years ago, sister, and I had $100. That's all I had on me. And the kids, that's when I was raising four kids. And we got in the van, and I had $100 on me. And I went in the store, and I was just, you know, it was extra $100. I was just going to treat myself that week. And I thought, well, shoot, I can go in here and get this and that, and, you know. Every time I filled that buggy up, sister, it felt like, I don't know, just an unease. I said, Lord, I don't understand this. I feel unease about everything I get in this buggy. I don't understand. I'd put it back, and I finally walked outside. I give up. I just walked outside, and the kids was in the car. They was waiting on me right quick. And my wife was in the car. And all of a sudden, I went out there and had a flat tire, sister. Yeah, I mean, it had a big hole in that thing, and it was exactly $100 for that tire and get it mounted and everything right at the Walmart. I thought, now I know why, God, you gave me an unease about buying anything. See, God knew I needed that tire. God knew I needed that tire. And see, I say it like this. You pray about it, find a peace about it. When you find the peace, that's God telling you to give the okay. If you feel unease about stuff, guys, I'm telling you, that's God saying, no, not right now. Could be later, but no, not right now. Now, I have experienced that a lot. And I seek over stuff, and I ask God, I say, God, you know, what should I do with this? And once I find that peace, Sister Christy, that's all I need. Because sometimes, sometimes, guys, God is leading you into bigger things, and your mind is not capable of receiving it. Because, Sister Christy, I've been there. When you make $200 a week and you barely get by, your mind cannot receive the things that God wants to pour in you. Because you got to understand something. You're not staying where you are. You're going to go bigger and higher and greater things. That's just God's will for your life. Because the Bible says he wishes above all things that you prosper well as your soul prospers. So God wants you to have big dreams and cars and houses. He wants you to have these things. God, and it's not a sin to have a nice car. It's not a sin to have a house that he wants to bless you with. You got to understand something. King Solomon, guys, God blessed him because King Solomon blessed God. See, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will fulfill the desires of your heart. Guys, it's okay to desire these things. People think, oh, you're sinning because you desire a nice car. Where in the Bible says that you're sinning because you desire stuff? We all desire things. I desire a boat. Is that the will of God that I desire a boat? Yeah, it is, because it's something Jason wants. It's not what God wants, but it's something Jason wants. You got to understand something. You're concerned about God and what he wants. He's going to be concerned about what you want. See,
that's right. Some people, they mess that up, though. They confuse desire and envy. They confuse those two. Those are two different ball games. And the religious elite will try to pull that about the desires. But there's a difference between desire and envy. And a lot of times people don't understand that.
Right, and that's where we get wrong, guys. We think it's a sin that if we desire a big house or maybe a big car, or that is so sinful that God don't want that for us. See, sister, God broke me from that years ago. And that's why I kept saying, God, you want me to have these things? And people kept saying, no, God don't want you to have all that stuff. That's sinful. I'm like, okay, if it's sinful, then why do I desire these things? Well, you desire them things because you got a sinful. I got into all that, Sister Creek, but here's what I'm come to find out. Everybody in the Bible that was truly blessed of God, they first desired what God wanted. King Solomon was a good example. King Solomon desired what was on God's heart. That's why he asked for discernment between good and evil. Then when he found out what was God's on God's heart, guess what God did for him? He gave him the kingdom, the palace, gave him so much riches and golds, it didn't matter. I mean, it's what King Solomon wanted then. Because God said, look, you bless me, now I'm going to bless you. Because, see, God has desires. What is God's desire? He seeks to save that which was lost. His desire is that none shall perish, but all come to repentance. That's his desire. And that's what he don't desire worldly things, sister. He don't. God don't desire a big house. Well, you going to build a house for God? God owns it all. He don't desire things like we do because he's not of this world. And no, we should not worship these things we got, because that's where it becomes wrong. But it does not mean that God don't want to bless you with these things. But see, that's where it becomes wrong, because a lot of people get the blessings of God and they forget God. See, God don't want that. God wants you to have the blessings and continue to put him first, even though you're blessed. And that's his will. His will is above all things, you prosper as well as your soul prospers. Otherwise, God wants you to remember him, put him first, keep loving him like you had nothing, and just watch him unfold every desire of your heart, every desire. But see, he don't want to unfold the desires of your heart when your heart's nowhere near him. Why would God want to give you stuff when your heart ain't near him? The closer you get to him, the closer you get to your desires. Think about that. Everybody's got desires. Everyone on here today has desires, I promise you. You have desires that your kid get a good education? Come on. Get a good education, get married one time, not two or three times like I did? Come on. I desire that for my kids. I desire that my kids be wealthy, healthy. I desire these things for my children. I desire that they'll never be broke a day in their life. I desire these things. There's nothing wrong with that. But most of all, I desire that they walk with God like I walk with God. That's the most desire I have. See, it's okay to desire worldly stuff. Just don't let the worldly stuff get in you. See, because if you love God, you can't love the world. But it's okay to have some of the world while you're in it to enjoy it. Yes, there's nothing wrong with that. But just don't let it get on the side of you where it gets to the point where God takes a back seat. No. They ain't no materialistic, they ain't no cars, no houses, no computers. Because believe me, I got a house full of computers, sound system, drums, guitar. I got a house full of everything, but those things do not get inside of me and they don't replace him and put him in the back seat. And that's what God don't want to happen. And when you do that, my friend, you're going to lose everything you got. I'm just saying. Anything else, sister? You got something before we get off here?
No, brother, I think you've pretty much covered it today.
All right, guys, thank you for tuning in. Listen, we're on iHeartRadio. Download it. We're on Spotify. We're on all them things now, the podcast you can download. Guys, we appreciate 50 downloads in 26 days, I believe. We got 50 downloads on our podcast. Thank you, Lord. And we're reaching over 500-600 people a day on our radio station. Continue to pray over our radio station that we reach more people. Are they still working on our Apple app? Once that Apple app gets on, it probably is going to increase the listening, of course. But anyways, thank you guys for tuning in. Hope you enjoy the broadcast and the podcast, wherever you hear this from. And thank Prophetess Cummins coming on today and joining us from God Connection Ministries. And thank all you guys. We love y'all. We'll see you next week.
God bless you all.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Kingdom Radio, www.thekingdomradio.com. Or you can download it, listen to live services on Google Play, The Kingdom Radio, or on Apple. Thank you for tuning in.